God bless you, my friend.
Firstly, I just want to say thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be able to come before congregation, be able to preach tonight, and to be able to practice my preaching, although that's what I'm going to school for. It's a little difference between doing a 15 message and trying to do a 30-minute message. So to the best of my ability, I'm going to try to go for as long as I can, but not too long, because we have ice cream afterwards. I don't need a riot on my hands already. So, and it's hard to believe that 20 years ago, that was me going downstairs. And now I'm standing up here in front of the pulpit, preaching to you what God has showed me. So if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And for right now, we're going to look at one verse, verse number 19. Matthew 4, verse 19. Before we begin this evening, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this evening, for this opportunity for me to be able to preach. I pray that you give me clarity of mind, clarity of heart, clarity of speech, that you may be able to use me to present what you have showed to me, to your people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And it says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The title for my message this evening is Fan or Follower? Fan or Follower? How many of you this evening are fans of a certain sports team? You have a certain team that you like, you follow, you would be a fan of that team. How many of you this evening? Quite a few of you. I know that, where'd he go? There's Theo. Theo is a big sports person out there. He follows basketball, baseball, all sorts of sports. And I'm sure, Theo, you have a certain teams that you prefer over other ones. What's your favorite team that you have, any sport?
New York Yankees.
New York Yankees, baseball, right? So I assumed it was baseball. I know you're all about baseball. So you're a fan of the New York Yankees, right? I'll ask you kind of on the spot, why are you a fan of the New York Yankees? What's the reason? So you're a fan because your dad's a fan. So let me ask you this question. If you grow up, move away, move to a different state or whatever, and you have a different baseball team, do you think you would switch being a fan from the Yankees to another team? No? You think you're always going to be a Yankees fan? All right, well, we'll see about that in the future. But so you may be a fan of a certain team. For Theo, it's the Yankees. But if you notice, sometimes people follow certain people, are fans of certain teams, but when their team starts to lose and they start to go down in points, they suddenly become fans of other teams. They switch back and forth. I think it's also funny how you're sitting there on your couch, you're not doing anything to help the team or whatever, but you're sitting on your couch watching the game and you're trying to be the coach for the team even though you're not there in person. There's nothing you can do. You know, you're saying, oh, you should have gone field goal, you should have done this, you shouldn't have done that, but there's nothing you can do. But at the end of the game, I think it's funny how sometimes when our team wins, it's, yay, we won. You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything to make your team win. You weren't out there on the field, kicking the ball, making goals, making plays. You did nothing. But when it comes to your team that loses, you go, oh, they lost. I want nothing to do with them. They lost. So when we win, it's we win. But when they lose, it's they lose. And I have a question for you this evening. Are you a fan or are you a follower of Jesus Christ? This evening, we're going to look at the difference between being a fan of Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. Turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 12. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. And to be a fan means that you are looking to get something out of it. And right here in this passage, we're going to be looking at what the multitude was trying to get. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. And it says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up unto the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Of one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as many as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments and that remain, that nothing be lost. The multitude here, these followers, were actually really fans. They were fans because they claim to follow Jesus, but they're only there to get something from Jesus. That is what a fan is, to get something out of someone else or to get entertainment from something. So this group was a fan of Jesus because Jesus gave them 3 healings. As it says there in verse 2, that they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. They were only following Jesus so that they could be healed. And later in this passage, we learn that it's the feeding of the 5,000. And so now they're following Jesus because they get fed. They get free food. So not only do they get free healings, they also get free food. Now, I don't know about you, but if I get healed, and I get free food, I'm going to feel good. Amen? So these people only, quote unquote, followed Jesus because they got free healing, free food, and so that they could feel good. They were fans because they only came to get something from Jesus rather than give something to Jesus. Imagine if Jesus were to say to these people and to us today that you can only follow me if you pay thousands of dollars. Now, I wonder how many followers would turn away, not because they don't have the money, or not because they no longer want to follow him, but because they now had to give something of themselves. You see, in this passage, the only person that gave something to Jesus was this lad. He was the only one. In a group of at least 5,000 men, he was the only one that gave something to Jesus. Now, I'm pretty sure that in a group that size, there's almost no way that this little lad was the only one who had food. I can imagine the disciples are walking around the crowd and they're asking all the people, do you have money? Do you have food? Do you have money? Do you have food? And the people are standing here and they're hiding their money and hiding their food. No, I don't have anything because this is mine. This is my food. This is my money. I don't want to give it up so that way I can have it for later. But this lad was the only one who gave little of what he had so that God can do something big. Many people in today's age have a fan mentality of Jesus. Sometimes we only follow Jesus when it's convenient for us or we want something from him because we, deep down, are selfish. There are a lot of, feel-good churches out there that only talk about things that make you feel good and things that Jesus can give you. There are some churches out there that preach a prosperity gospel, which is a false doctrine that says, basically, as long as you come to church, as long as you give money, and as long as you keep giving the church money, then God will prosper. God will give you health. God will give you more money. God will give you, a promotion you want at work. As long as you give money, God will give you more in return. And that's not necessarily true. When we do get, it's a possibility that God can bless us, but it's not of God that he will bless us. He can bless us, but he doesn't have to bless us. That's a prosperity gospel. I remember seeing this one clip of this preacher. I don't know who he was. He was one of these prosperity gospel preachers. And he took a Bible verse way out of context. He took Matthew 18, 19 and 20, which says, "A certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." And this preacher took that verse and twisted it to mean that Jesus had nowhere to lay his head because he was so financially well off. He had so many houses that he couldn't choose which house he wanted to sleep in. Now that's twisting the gospel way out of context. So that way they can gain more money, their church can become bigger, they can get more people in, and they can get more money. That is a false doctrine. Another one is a doctrine that says that to be filled with a spiritual fire from the Holy Spirit. And this isn't talking about when you're saved, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, or if you have a revival, you may be filled with fire from a revival. This is talking about people and pastors coming up and telling their congregation that God has given me a fire, and they go up and they hit the person in the head, and the person lie down, and they roll over, and they do all this stuff. They look like they're having seizures on the ground because they're filled with this spiritual fire. I've seen clips where they even put fire blankets over the people to put out the spiritual fire, to which I would say, if this fire is true, why are you trying to put out the fire of Jesus? But just saying. Another one that goes greatly along with prosperity gospel is healing. You see a lot of preachers nowadays that go, "Oh, just give me $1,000, $2,000, and I can heal you of your sickness. I can heal your leg. I can make you walk again. I can do all this stuff. Just give me money. Just give me money. Oh, it's all fine. I'll just heal you." And the last one that I have for an example is one called the Sparkle Creed. I don't know if anyone here has heard of that, but back in 2023, so not that very long ago, a Lutheran church in Minnesota recited the Sparkle Creed. Edina Community Lutheran Church pastor Anna Helgen, so you already know they're doctrinally wrong because they have a female pastor, asked the congregation to stand in body or spirit to confess our faith in the Sparkle Creed. And this is what the Sparkle Creed says. "I believe in the non-binary God, whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads and saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one light, white light, and reflects it into a rainbow of glorious diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints as numerous, creative, and resilient as patches on the quilt, whose feet are grounded in mud and whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the calling to each of us that love is love is love. So brethren, let us love. I believe, glorious God, help my unbelief. Amen." Now, I ask you a question this evening. Are you a fan? Well, and you might come back at me, "Well, Randy, I'm not in one of those churches that believe in prosperity gospel and healings and does the Sparkle Creed," to which I say, "Well, obviously, you're here tonight, so you don't go to one of those churches." But let me ask you this question. Why are you going to church? So if you're not going to one church, why are you coming to church here? Are you coming to church just because it's a routine? It's something you do every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night? Has it just become a routine to you? Are you here just for fellowship? You know, oftentimes it's the third Sunday of the month, and people you haven't seen in a month suddenly appear for the third Sunday of the month just because they're fellowship. Or are you here for fellowship of friends? So if so-and-so doesn't come to church, well then I'm not going to go to church because they're my best buddy and now I'm not going to go to church. Or do you come to church to feel good? It may not be one of these feel-good type churches, but do you come to church just so that you can feel better about yourself? But when it comes to conviction, you sit there and go, "Oh, that's not for me," or "I'll do it later," and you don't confess to God. So if you come to church for any of these reasons or for any other reason than to come and worship, praise, and if necessary, to get right with God on a matter, then it can be suspected that you are just a fan of Jesus and not a follower. So if we've looked at what it is to be a fan of Jesus, now let us look at what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I looked up this word, follower, for its definition, and there are five definitions that I found. One who comes, goes, or moves from another in the same course. One who takes another as his guide in doctrines, opinions, or examples. One who receives the opinions and imitates the example of other, an adherent, an imitator. One who obeys, worships, and honors. An adherent, a disciple, one who embraces the same system. An attendant, a companion, an associate, or a dependent. So what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? If you put all those definitions together, to be a follower of Jesus simply means that you align your life, actions, and conduct with those of Jesus Christ. You are a disciple. You are a learner. You are learning what Jesus has taught for us. So how do I become a follower of Jesus Christ? Firstly, in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must know Jesus as your Savior. You must know salvation. In order for you to be saved, you must understand that you are a sinner, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must understand the penalty of your sin, Romans 6:23a, for the wages of sin is death. Then you must understand who paid the penalty for your sin and why he paid that penalty, Romans 6:23b. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you must know how you can be saved, which is Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you firstly must know you must be saved. Secondly, you must have daily Bible study and daily devotions with prayer. You must have a relationship with him, one that is evident with spiritual growth and maturity. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So you must have a daily walk, a daily devotion with Jesus Christ. You must be saturated in his word. If you want to follow Jesus, you must know what he says. You must know what he says not to do, what to do. In order to do that, you need to know what the Bible says. Thirdly, in order to be a follower of Jesus, you must tell others about the gospel. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Are you going out soul winning? It may not be on Tuesday night and it may not be on Saturday morning, but do you have a designated time where you go out door to door or to your coworkers or to your neighbors down the street and you're telling people about Jesus Christ? Lastly, in order to be a follower of Jesus, you must be willing to sacrifice all for Jesus. Matthew 16:24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So I ask you tonight, are you a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Are you daily saturating yourself in the Bible and in prayer? Are you telling others about the gospel? And are you willing to sacrifice all for Jesus? The multitude that followed Jesus only followed him because they got free food, free healings, and they felt good. But true followers of Jesus, his disciples, gave up their funds, gave up their family, and gave up their freedom, and most of them eventually would give up their lives. If those things are true, then it can be suspected that you are a follower of Jesus and not just a fan. But only you and God can truly know if you are a follower of Jesus or if you're just a fan. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or in the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." You can come here, have a routine, come every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday, be dressed up in your suit and in your tie, or your bow tie. You can be dressed up, you can look the part, but are you actually following Jesus? Do you have an internal desire in your heart to seek after him? During the summer at Camp Timber Ridge, Pastor Ken Sparks has really challenged us to be followers of Jesus Christ. And in one of his messages that he had, he'd read to us a poem entitled, "I Am a Disciple of Jesus Christ." And I'm going to read that here for you tonight. Again, it's entitled, "I Am a Disciple of Jesus Christ." I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I will not look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, top, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, love by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. My pace is set, my gait is fast, my goal is the heaven, my road is narrow. My way is rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, nor meander in the maze of mediocrity. I will not give up, back up, let up, or shut up until I have prayed up, preached up, stored up, and stayed up the cause of Jesus Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until he returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no trouble recognizing me. My colors fly high, and they are clear for all to see. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ." So once again, I ask you the question tonight, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? If you're not a disciple, why not? Maybe it's because you're here tonight and you're not saved. You can get that settled tonight. Maybe you're here and you don't daily read your Bible, you don't have a daily prayer, and you don't grow with him. Or maybe you need to tell others about the gospel. Or maybe you aren't willing to sacrifice everything for him. Whatever the case, why not today decide to be a follower instead of a fan? If you're here, and to the best of your knowledge, you are a follower, you're saved, you have daily devotions and prayer, you tell others of the gospel, and you are willing to sacrifice all for Jesus, to you I say, keep it up, keep going, don't quit. The battle is hard, but you must fight every day, so that when he comes to claim his own, he will have no trouble recognizing you. And so you can say with all your heart, I am truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you this evening that you have given me the opportunity again to preach to your congregation what you have shown me, that you have challenged me personally to be a follower of Jesus Christ and not just a fan.